You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 592, recorded for Tuesday, March 12th, 2019, Church Intranets by Trello. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we talk about church intranets once again, and specifically how Trello, the project management tool, might be a good candidate if you're interested in setting up one of those church intranets. It's happy birthday to the World Wide Web. We talk about Wells' mission journey, some great community feedback from David Schumann, great picks as usual, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. Hello, Aiden. Welcome, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is episode 592. We're second week in March, March 12th, to be exact, of 2019. Joining me, as usual, this fine spring day, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hey, Martin. Fine spring day. The temperature must be heading upward.
It's 40 today. Woo-hoo. So I'm really excited. And the sun is shining.
Weather.
It's actually very bright out with the sun or the sun bouncing off the snow, which we've got a lot of yet. But I'll take it. There's some meltage going on. So I'm all for that.
That's a great thing. I've been seeing pictures in my Facebook feed of friends in the New Ulm area with crashed in roofs on their little outside buildings.
And oh, no.
I think St. Paul's New Ulm had some water issues in their one of their entryways. Just a lot of snow.
It's been one of those winters that you can't wait for spring. So, but yeah. signs are positive. So
good.
Sally, we are going to kind of continue a series, a monthly series we've been doing on tools or approaches, maybe. I'm not even quite sure how to describe it, but things that a congregation could use or a school, we're going to get to that in future months, to improve organization and communication. And we've been talking about intranets. And intranets are one of those things that I think are becoming a lot easier to put together and use. And I think a lot of congregations are feeling the fact that they're maybe a little bit more organized as a result of putting all this stuff online. And that's what an intranet is good at doing. And you kind of kicked us off last month talking about using Google Sites and maybe more specifically Google Docs for intranet.
Right. It's basically, when you boil it down to the bare minimum, you need something that can be secure, something that you can give people access to, because it's internal communication and planning. It's not something you want out on the World Wide Web for the public to stumble upon. And so Google does have options, you know, to privatize things that way, which makes it a great option for sharing documents or creating web pages with information or whatever it may be that you need to do. You can probably make Google work for you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other tools in the spectrum of things that can be privatized in the same way, and other tools that are free, like Google Tools. And you're going to give us a deep dive into Trello for this same kind of purpose.
And those who are longtime listeners, or maybe even short-term listeners, have probably heard us talk about Trello in the past. Trello, we've mostly talked about it in the context of project management, but when you think about it, a lot of the things that a congregation or church or school needs to keep track of are project-based. But it has enough flexibility in it to allow for lots of different organizational tasks. And one of those is, I think, an intranet. Now, it works differently than any other kind of document management system, since it's really not revolving around documents. So it's going to be actually very different than Google Docs, although it can integrate with Google Docs. It has a lot of little plugins and a lot of connections that can expand its capabilities. But I think one of the biggest strengths of Trello is its flexibility. You can use it in a lot of different ways. You can structure it any way you like, and there are a lot of There's a lot of functionality built in what on the surface seems to be a pretty simple tool. The construct is a concept of bulletin boards or boards on which you put lists, and on those lists you put cards. And those are really the three organizational tools you have to work with. And when you're dealing with an intranet, there's lots of ways you can attack it. And so I put together a little video, and we'll share that in the show notes. So I'm not going to go through in great detail how to do all that. But just from a high level, I think when you want to think about organizing content, you have to think about the different boards and committees and functions they perform. So you kind of need a starting place, a home page, somewhat mimic an intranet website. And you kind of did that with Google Docs too. You had kind of an index page, something that you could tell people to go to, and that's kind of their starting point. And that's kind of what I demoed here. And we've got a little sample, four sample boards that are maybe helpful in somebody trying to get started with if they wanted to use Trello as their intranet. So on that sample, that main board, I have things like a list of subboards. So maybe on your main board, you have kind of official documents and records, schedules, those kinds of things, those overriding kind of broad things that cross different functional boundaries. But then you can go in a little bit deeper to maybe these subboards, and maybe a subboard might be your church council. They'd have a board all to themselves where they could put all the stuff that they need for doing business. And as I'm looking at the one I started, so maybe you've got a board for your church council, and on that board you have lists for the evangelism committee and the adult discipleship committee and the elders and the property and grounds folks. And maybe you have a board or list for meeting minutes. So each card represents one meeting, and on that card you can have attachments, which is some of the flexibility built into Trello. So if you've got the previous meeting minutes and the agenda and those kinds of things, that can be attached. Or you could use a checklist for your agenda. So lots of different ways to skin the cat, so to speak, with a lot of these subboards. And then maybe you've got other boards for just kind of broader categories. So maybe you want to keep track of all your groups. So who's in leadership positions? Do they have any schedules that you need to manage? So I put together what I called an intranet groups board. And on it, it's got the altar guild or lists for the altar guild and the ushers and the choir and the AV or the projection team. Just to kind of keep track of all of them. Maybe they don't need their own board themselves, but you want to keep track of some of their information, so you just have a board there. And then finally, the other board that I think is helpful to have for an intranet is an event planning board. And this is a board that we put together a while back that is super helpful in planning. So you kind of have a groupings by what's coming up and what's going on right now and what's done, and then recurring events and groups and those kinds of things. I think there's all kinds of ways to use this tool, kind of what it was made for in kind of a project management or project planning capacity. And you can put all this on a calendar, because that's one of the plugins that you can add, or what they call power-ups to Trello. So lots of different ways to slice and dice it. And then you throw in labels, so you can further categorize and organize and search and filter. So there's lots of ways to get your information in and then get your information out. And then, as you mentioned at the top, Sally, security. You can mm-hmm. make these private or public, depending on, and we'll make these public, but you can easily use these for your own purposes, copy these boards and make them private, and then just grant specific permissions. And then you have a couple of different brands of permission. You can kind of have a read-only mode, and then you can have kind of an editor mode, people that can just see or maybe even just comment, but they can't create cards, they can't edit cards themselves, they can just kind of see what's going on, or they can, do the whole you know, the whole thing where they're creating lists and moving cards around and adding dates and adding attachments and checklists. Those kinds of things are all possible. So I think it checks all the boxes as far as I can think of it. I have not seen a congregation use this tool yet, although I think it's totally doable. The price is right and just the flexibility. I guess I wouldn't recommend this whole hog for a large congregation because they're going to need different tools other than you just kind of the roll your own stuff that you would do here. But medium size and small congregations, I think this is a great fit.
I agree, Martin. And I guess one component that you didn't talk about, or maybe you did and I missed it, is pricing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can do all that you described
for free. Most of what we talked about is for free, yeah. One mm-hmm. of the limitations you get with free, and there is nonprofit pricing too, so if you decide that it doesn't meet your needs and you want to bump up a level, make sure you get that nonprofit pricing. That's what we use for our centered office work. But one of the limitations, if you do go the free route, is the number of power-ups that you can install. Power-ups are those little pieces of added functionality, like you can add custom fields to your cards or that calendar function I was talking about. There's some automation tasks, those kinds of things. So once repeating cards, duplicating cards, those kinds of things. Some of those require power-ups, and you can only use so many in the free account. So you'd have to, your mileage may vary, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's super expensive. And even if you do pay for the account, you can still invite as many other people for free to be a part of it. So I would say it's really a reasonable solution if you want to go after it.
And I think one advantage it may have over Google solutions that we talked about last month is that people don't have to have a specific account to join. Mm-hmm. So to use the Google tools, they've got to go create a Google account, a Gmail account typically, or some type of Google account. And with Trello, it can be any type of account. You just invite them with their regular email address, whatever they prefer to use, and then they come in and, put in their credentials or whatever in Trello. So, if people are opposed to having a Google account or something like that, then this would be a solution that wouldn't, require that of them.
Right.
Another challenge, and we talked about this a little bit last week, it was part of community feedback, is that sometimes your boards can get really wide. So you don't have a view on one screen of everything that's on the board, and you're constantly scrolling far out to the right to see all the different lists that you've put on the board. I think if folks look at that event planning sample that we have out there, they'll experience that because there's, 10 lists or something on that board. And I mentioned last week that I knew there was a Chrome plugin. So this is different than the power-ups that are built into Trello. This is actually for the Chrome browser. And I looked it up. I included a link in last week's show, but I do have it where I can actually tell you what it's called this time. And it is List Layouts for Trello. So if you search in the Chrome store, you would find that plugin that you can use in your browser. And you can toggle between three different modes. The regular mode where everything is spread out to the right. Or a stacked mode where it takes your list and it fits them on one screen. Now, it may make some longer lists have scroll bars, so you have to scroll down in the list to see everything. But you can see all the list typically on one screen, depending on how many lists you have. And then there's another mode where it just takes your list and runs them all the way down one column, which to me is not very effective at all to have everything in one column. But I really do like that stacked mode, and I use it a good bit. I'm just not a fan of the scrolling to the right. So if that's something that's been a barrier for you, I really encourage you to try this Chrome plugin called List Layouts. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the benefits. So they've got pretty much of an open API, basically, that allows people to build these plugins that extend the functionality if you're using a supported browser like Chrome. A couple other things I wanted to mention. The commenting, I did briefly mention, but that's kind of a cool feature that if you've got a project team or people that are all working on the same task, comments that come into the card can be attached right to the card. And all of kind of the content for a particular task can go on a card. So you can add as many attachments as you like. There is, I think, a physical limit for the free account, but you know, it's fairly high. All the comments, checklists, you know, those kinds of things. You got it all in one place, so you don't have to kind of look all over the place. And another neat thing about cards and card activities, you can get notifications. So you can set it up so that when somebody adds something to the card or checks off an item on the checklist or makes a comment, you can get an email that says, hey, so-and-so made this particular comment. And I think you can be somewhat picky about how and when you receive those updates. It can be via email, can be once a day or almost immediately. So you can kind of tweak that a little bit. So you don't have to come to the site all the time to kind of stay up to date on what's going on. And you can even respond to a comment via email. So you can have that back and forth that way. So notifications are pretty powerful. And finally, the last plug is the fact that they have mobile apps that are actually pretty well done for iPhone, for Android, for iPad. They even have apps, quote-unquote apps, that are available to install on Windows and Macs. So that along with, you know, the automated notifications and even reminders just makes this a very portable solution no matter what somebody's using. So a lot of good things to say about Trello.
Yeah. One thing you didn't mention, Martin, is searchability. I don't know if you did. Maybe you did.
Just briefly, but yeah, that's super powerful too.
It is powerful. Yeah. And then also it searches archives. So I'm not sure you talked at all about archives, but you can get things out of your view by archiving them, but they're not gone forever. You can still find them and you can send them back to the board so they're viewable again. Mm-hmm. So there's some pretty nice features around that.
Okay. So like I mentioned in the show notes, we'll put links to all these sample boards, and it's really easy to copy these boards for your own purposes. And feel free to do that just as kind of an opening structure if you want to get started. It'd be real super easy to do that. And then, like I mentioned, there is a setup, quote-unquote, intranet setup video I did, maybe 15, 20 minutes. It'll walk you through how I created those boards and some of the things to watch out for, but also all the features that I was talking about, some of the benefits that you might realize. So take advantage of that.
Well done, Martin. Thanks for doing the heavy lifting this week.
No problem. It was fun and very easy, actually. It was not a chore to do this. It's so simple to add cards and edit and connect them and those kinds of things. So, all right, let's move on to our News in Tech segment.
Yep, and today, March 12th, we are celebrating the birthday of the World Wide Web. Actually, Google told us to celebrate because it was the Google Doodle of the day. So thank you, Google, for that. And it has been 30 years since, I believe they call him Sir Tim Berners-Lee created or submitted an idea for creating the first World Wide Web functionality. And I guess I didn't realize, and I'm not as up on it as I probably should be, but the internet existed prior to this. This was more about how hypertext and browsing and things like that were going to come into play. So there were computers, they were connected, but they weren't communicating the way we do now via browser and with hypertext markup language. So interesting article to, you know, not real long, but a little bit of history and how it all came to be 30 years ago.
Do you remember your first time on the internet or introduction to the web?
Well, I was thinking about that as I read this. So I would say it was probably 94 or so when we started emailing in our office where I was working at the time at Blue Cross of Texas. And I remember email being a big deal. We used to always type up our memorandums, and we had an office automated machine that ran through the hallways, and you'd go out and grab the things addressed to you from this mail delivery machine that we had, and we quit typing up memorandums and sending them on paper and started emailing in about 94, I want to say, is when that happened. What about you?
I don't know the specific year. I guess my clearest memories are using products like CompuServe and Prodigy. I think CompuServe came first.
AOL.
In fact, it's kind of interesting. They assign you a password. They didn't let you set your own password back in those days. And still today, I use some form in some cases of that initial password they gave me. So it's lasted later. All these years. Yes. So some habits die hard. But I don't know if I'd call that. I guess that would be called the internet, but that wouldn't necessarily be called the World Wide Web. I mean, the two. You know, there's not an equal sign between the two because you really didn't have web pages and hyperlinks as you know them today. I mean, you had more of a communications bulletin board type system. And as you mentioned, the primary use at that point was email. And boy, we thought that was a miracle that you could do this. You know, it's come a long way since then. So happy birthday, World Wide Web.
Yeah, I actually went to a training and learned how to create AOL pages. So I had an administrative type account, and I could do it for particular clients and things to create AOL pages. That was a long, long time ago.
All right. Long trip down memory lane there. Let's talk about the here and now, and in fact, specifically Wells Now.
And Wells Now is, we're going to feature Wells Mission Journeys, which is a new Wells program for short-term mission trips. Wells will work with perhaps your church or your school to send a team on a mission trip, and it may be local or it may be worldwide. And they work with you to prepare you. They support you through your trip and your work in a mission setting. And then they help you kind of debrief and share your experience after you return so that you're encouraging others by the work that's being done in the mission field. So they have a great website set up, an FAQ, where you can find out more, learn about the application process and what kind of projects are involved and whether you have to know a foreign language or not. I think that would exclude me if I did, because that is not my forte, but I bet they're willing to work with you, and especially with groups like from a church or a school that want to take a trip. So, yeah, check out Wells Mission Journeys. We'll have a link to it in our show notes.
Yeah, and it was in the most recent Wells Connection, I want to say, where their director talked a little bit about the kind of the history and some of the success stories. But I'm really impressed with how organized they are, and they seem to have kind of gotten this down to a science. So if you're interested, it's going to be, I think, a seamless process. So take advantage of that.
Very good.
I think it's time for our picks of the week, Sally.
And my pick of the week is actually an article I read, and it was kind of security related, and it surprised me actually. So I thought it was worth sharing and maybe just giving people some food for thought. The title of it is Out of Office Messages, a Security Risk. And so I don't know about others, but I am in the habit of leaving a message. Outlook is my email client at work, and I typically set it up to say I'll be out of the office on these days and returning your email when I am back on this day and that kind of thing. And the point of the article is that maybe you're giving away too much information. Maybe someone who has not the best intentions might receive that as an opportunity to access your computer while you're away, or to pretend to be you, or sometimes I would leave a message that says, call so-and-so if you have a question, and they may use that as a way to get into your organization, learning more contact information and things like that. If you say where you're at, like I'm going hiking at X destination, you know, that might give your personal security some risk or whatever. And so, again, the article is just kind of a chance to have food for thought. And it says, you know, some tips would be to send it to a small group. If you can narrow it down just to sending it to your coworkers and have a different message for people inside versus outside your organization, that kind of thing, that might be wise to consider. If you are setting it to reply, only reply to people that address you specifically in the to or the CC field. So if it's just a generic email where you're blind carbon copied or something, that's just probably not a good idea to reply to those. Also, if you have settings to reply only once per day, that could narrow down, you know, the possibility that they might get information from you multiple times or whatever. And then it just encourages you to test your out-of-office messages from a different account. So just being a little bit wise and a little bit more secure with the data and the information that's important to us, and not inviting people to take advantage of you in times that you're away from the office.
Great advice. I know mm-hmm. that most email clients will allow you to set an out-of-office message. I know even Gmail does that. But I think many of them allow you to say, well, only send it out to people in my contact list or something like that. So explore your client and see what options you have, because I think that would be a lot safer. Mm-hmm. Very good. Good find. And on what site does this blog post appear?
The name of the blog is The Lone SysAdmin, Rounding
Interesting.
Technology Outlaws Up Since 2005.
Uh-huh. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. My pick of the week is a website, which I stumbled across the other day, and I don't remember how I even got here, but it's called days.to. And as you can imagine, it is a site that allows you to configure kind of a nice, pretty countdown screen to different events. So, for instance, I will put a link in the show notes, days to Easter. So it's actually kind of interesting that the URL string, you can almost guess how to craft some of these. Days.to/until/Easter. Will bring up kind of a pretty screen where you've got a countdown. And as of today, at this time, it's 39 days, 10 hours, 34 minutes, 37 seconds until Easter, which is this year very late, April 21st, one of the later Easters. But there's all kinds of configurations that you can do here, too. And this totally free website. You can get to any kind of holidays, days until Christmas, Easter, Good Friday. Spring, that's a good one. Days until spring. Let me click on that one. 8 days until spring, 3 hours, 33 minutes, 37 seconds. So at least in the Northern Hemisphere it is. There's a whole events calendar that you can look at across, and they have kind of all, you know, religious holidays and the Major League Baseball season opener, the Brexit expiration date, Red Nose Day, et cetera, et cetera. So all kinds of interesting stuff here that you can click on and get the countdown. I can imagine using this maybe as your homepage or screen in your school or your church. If you've got something during the week you just want to have up there, some kind of countdown, kind of interesting stuff. I think you can embed this as well on your website, so or share it, those kinds of things. Kind of fun. I don't know if it's got total business appeal, but I think there's kind of some fun stuff here you could use. So days.to. Did you ever heard of this, Sally?
I haven't. I often will check days. I don't know what site it's on now. I'll look for this kind of information, like for countdown purposes or whatever, or just determining how long a period of time is. There's a website where you can put in the to and from dates and things like that if you don't want to do it from today.
I get the sense this is out of the UK because they have all kinds of soccer matches on here on their calendar. So,
well, I like the pretty background, too. It puts some pretty imagery with it and stuff.
Yeah.
And the one I'm used to using is not pretty at all.
Yep.
So
you know how many days till Pi Day?
Well, today is the 12th, mm-hmm. so it must be 5, huh?
1 day, 10 hours, 32 minutes, 14. 23 seconds. So, Pi Day is Thursday.
Yeah.
All right, and you normally celebrate Pi Day, don't you?
Yeah, I just skipped right past the 1-4 part of it and went to the 1-7, third and fourth digits. Wow.
All you math folks love Pi Day.
Speaking of math folks, shout out to the Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School Matt.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Who won at Minnesota State competition yesterday. First place. I read that they had a perfect team score on the team round. So kudos to them. I had boys on that team for 9 years, mm-hmm. and they never went to state once. So the year that my son, well, youngest has graduated, they won state.
Laid the groundwork.
So excited for them. Yeah.
Very
but,
good.
Yeah, it was good to see those faces. They've been on Math Counts teams at the elementary level and really proud for them.
Cool. Congratulations. Yeah. Ministry resource time.
And we can thank David Schumann, who's a member of Peace in Janesville, Wisconsin, for sharing a great ministry resource idea. So I'm going to take a minute and just read the email that we received from David. Actually, we got a couple. With changes in commercial software, I've had to seek out free and open source software to continue to work as I do. Sometimes when I do, things get better. He mentions that he used to use Skype, and Skype was purchased by Microsoft, and they dropped their Linux support, then the web app support under Linux. But even better, for video chatting and light text chatting, he now uses Jitsi Meet at meet.jit.si. It's from jitsi.org, and it's multi-platform Skype without the overhead. No accounts, no passwords. You just type a link that you want to meet at, for instance, testing Wells Tech or whatever, and you share that link however you want to share it, and anyone who clicks that link is in the meeting, and it is video enabled, you know, so immediately you're having a video chat with multiple people if you want to include many, and when you're done, you just close that browser window and you're done. There's basically no account required. Everything you need is right there in the window as you go to it. So pretty easy to do. I notice on the web page that you can also use it on mobile devices. There's an Apple and a Google Play app available, and that it also integrates with Slack. So there's a button to add it to Slack if you use Slack for any kind of conversational purposes or whatever. So, Martin, you and I knew we were going to be talking about this today, so we had to give it an old test run. Mm-hmm. And I'd say it was pretty successful. We planned this show using Jitsi last week, and
right.
It was just as easy as David described.
Had all the features, I think, necessary for an effective video conference. Audio was clean, I thought. Video was good. Mm-hmm. There's whiteboarding and screen sharing, chat. I think there's screen recording, although we didn't do that. So I can't think of anything that it couldn't do. And the price tag was right on. I think it's a powerful platform.
Definitely. David actually followed up with another email, just kind of with some of his ideas about using it. He says, as each meeting link is a separate instance, you can set up and bookmark or embed in a PDF links to the meetings, along with meeting information. You could have a virtual workshop and publish a PDF mm-hmm. with pictures with the embedded Jitsi meet links and information on when each meeting would begin. Or you could hold multiple meetings simultaneously. There's lots of potential here. He's already setting up and bookmarking separate links for different uses, one click and you're in. He said he also believes our local and Synod funding either shrinks or we'd have better ways to use the limited funding programs if things like Jitsi were working for remote pastor meetings or council meetings, that kind of thing. And then he said for larger schools and churches, Jitsi actually has the instructions to set up a local server, which might be good for security as well as functionality. So lots of possibilities with Jitsi.
Very cool. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, David. Great find for us.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to do it for our ministry resource, but I think next up is community feedback. Am
and
I right about that?
David's on deck as well.
He is, because he shared a second tool that I thought was found really interesting. It's called Porteus Kiosk. Is that how you would say that, Martin?
Proteus, I would say.
That's what I meant.
Proteus
Kiosk. Well, I'm looking at their website,
cloud,
and I
yes.
think it's spelled O-R on the website.
Oh, is
so
it?
Maybe that was a typo. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Porteus.
I'm not looking at their website. Oh, you're right. Porteus, yes.
Yeah. So okay. It's an entire operating system, which you can boot from a 2 gig flash drive, and it'll boot to either Chrome or Firefox web browser. And that's it. With Chrome, you can be logged into your Google account and get all your Chrome bookmarks and things like that. Very fast browsing. And then when you shut down the computing device that booted off of this, you lose everything. It's just a, you know, it's obliterated. There's no history
Very
of your
secure.
Browsing or anything like that. So yeah, secure and fast. And he had another mention in the second email. He said, using the Proteus kiosk and Jitsi, staff can set up a one-click video visit with family, children, et cetera, in something like the Lutheran home setting.
Right.
So, you know, you go have your meeting or whatever on this, you know, cloud-based booted system, and then when you shut down, there's no disk image, no nothing. It's all gone. And certainly if you encountered any viruses along the way or anything like that, that's all gone too. So looks like a great thing for virtual volunteers to visit residents who are perhaps homebound or in a Lutheran home type setting or something like that.
Yep. Computer in a box or in your pocket. So cool. All right.
So one more community feedback item I thought was interesting this week in the discussion on Wells Intersections on Facebook. There was an article shared titled Three Ways to Create a Video Studio on Any Budget. And it's an article. Let's see who it's by. It's from a website titled, any second now, I'm going to be back at the top of the page, Social Media Examiner, Your Guide to the Social Media Jungle. And of course, video is probably the preferred communication message in social media these days, method, I should say, in social media these days. And so what they're looking at is a lot of different components that make up video production or a video studio. Things like cameras and tripods and lighting and microphones and background and software, all those different components, but they give you different options at three different budget levels, either free, a small budget, or a big budget. So as you read through the article, for instance, choosing the right camera, what they call free would be to use your smartphone, because smartphone cameras have come a long way and it may be good enough quality to just record with a smartphone. And then they go on from there to a small budget, like using a $100 webcam that produces HD video, down to, you know, more expensive cameras and things like that. So they give you lots of options here. Then they talk about tripods and free, small, and bigger budget, big budget items there. And you go all the way through the article with each of these different levels of budgeting. And then the end of the article pulls it all together. So they have a section on if you have a totally free budget, use your smartphone as a camera and a shelf as your tripod and natural lighting from a bright window as your lighting and your smartphone microphone. I mean, they walk through the different components that would make it up. They tell you software that's free and things like that. And then they go on to a small total budget around less than $200 to set up and $4.50 a month. And they talk about what things they would recommend at that level. So I think it's really the barriers to entry in the video market are coming down. And even if you start at the free or small budget level, over time, you could improve components in your video process to upgrade them to some of the higher level ones. But great article, I thought.
Good. Great find. Something for everybody there.
Definitely.
All right. That's it for community feedback. We would love for you to contribute to the show via our community feedback mechanisms. And that's they're varied and many. The best way to get a hold of us is to maybe start with our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. And there you'll find all kinds of different options, social media, as well as email, our Google Groups account. Those kinds of things are all ways for you to share with us your thoughts, your feedback, your experiences. That would be That would be awesome if you would join the conversation. So please take advantage of that. Video of the week.
Our video of the week circles back to your topic of the day, Martin. That's using Trello for intranets. Mm-hmm. We have a great video to share, 7 things you should do with every Trello board. So it kind of walks through setting up Trello boards in an optimal way. Yep. So learn more about Trello in the video of the week. It's about 12 minutes long.
It's from Simplitivity. This is a guy I follow on YouTube, and he does a lot of Trello stuff. So if you're into Trello or you want to get into Trello, I would follow his YouTube account because he's going to talk. He has a number of videos on how to optimize Trello. He also talks a lot about Google Docs and Gmail, those kinds of things. So he's kind of a productivity guy. So not a bad guy to follow. Sally, what are we going to do next week?
You know, I was hoping you'd ask because we've made it all the way into this podcast, 40 minutes of discussion, and we haven't once mentioned that we're having a great conference this summer, Martin. It's Wells Education Technology and Leadership Summit. We're hoping to see a lot of Wells techers in attendance at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. It's June 23rd through 27th, I believe. And next week, we're going to feature one of the speakers. Actually, I'm wrong. We're going to feature two of the speakers.
Two for the price of one.
At Wells EdTech Lead. Stephanie Cron and Kurt Gosdeck are teaming up to speak on Seesaw for student portfolios. So it's a really cool mobile app, actually, and I think there's lots of different versions of it. You can see it on computers as well, but it's a great way for students to record their work. And Stephanie is an ambassador for Seesaw, so she has lots of great ideas to share with how you can use it.
Yeah, I think you'll really enjoy the interview. We had fun with them. So That is all next week. We're glad that you showed up this week and hope that you will return next week for episode 593. We're coming up on 600, Sally. That'll hit May 7th if all goes according to plan here. So We want to thank everybody for, you know, their ears each week and pass the word that this exists, that Wells Tech is out there for you all. And we would love to have more people join us. So have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.